Behold, a people rises up like a lioness and lifts itself up like a lion. He will not lie down until he devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. Numbers 23:24. Today, I'm going to speak to you about the day that Israel rose up like a lion. On the day of this recording, we are into day two of Operation Rising Lion, when Israel did a preemptive strike against Iran and their nuclear capabilities. Listen in as we unpack this and learn about the day that Israel rose up like a lion. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is June 21st. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Numbers 13:1-15. The Lord now said to Moses, "Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes." So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. These were the tribes and the names of their leaders. From the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, son of Zakur. From the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, son of Hori. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Issachar, Ilgal, son of Joseph. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, son of Nun. From the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, son of Raphu. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, son of Sodai. From the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, son of Susi. From the tribe of Dan, Amiel, son of Gemali. From the tribe of Asher, Sethur, son of Michael. From the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, son of Voshi. From the tribe of Gad, Geul, son of Machi. Second Kings 1:1-2:25. After King Ahab's death, the nation of Moab declared its independence from Israel. One day, Israel's new king, Ahaziah, fell through the latticework of an upper room at his palace in Samaria, and he was seriously injured. So he sent messengers to the temple of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether he would recover. But the angel of the Lord told Elijah, who was from Tishbe, "Go and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them, 'Why are you going to Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether the king will get well? Is there no god in Israel? Now, therefore, this is what the Lord says. You will never leave the bed on which you are lying, but you will surely die.' So Elijah went to deliver the message. When the messengers returned to the king, he asked them, 'Why have you returned so soon?' They replied, 'A man came up to us and said, "Go back to the king and give him this message from the Lord. Why are you sending men to Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether you will get well? Is there no god in Israel? Now, since you have done this, you will never leave the bed on which you are lying, but you will surely die.' 'Who was this man?' the king demanded. 'What did he look like?' They replied, 'He was a hairy man, and he wore a leather belt around his waist.' 'It was Elijah from Tishbe,' the king exclaimed. Then he sent an army captain with 50 soldiers to arrest him. They found him sitting on top of a hill. The captain said to him, 'Man of God, the king has commanded you to come along with us.' But Elijah replied to the captain, 'If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and destroy you and your 50 men.' Then fire fell from heaven and killed them all. So the king sent another captain with 50 men. The captain said to him, 'Man of God, the king says that you must come down right away.' Elijah replied, 'If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and destroy you and your 50 men.' And again, the fire of God fell from heaven and killed them all. Once more, the king sent a captain with 50 men, but this time, the captain fell to his knees before Elijah. He pleaded with him, 'O man of God, please spare my life and the lives of these, your 50 servants.' See how the fire from heaven has destroyed the first two groups, but now please spare my life. Then the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, don't be afraid, go with him. So Elijah got up and went to the king, and Elijah said to the king, this is what the Lord says. Why did you send messengers to Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether you will get well? Is there no God in Israel? Now since you have done this, you will never leave the bed on which you are lying, but you will surely die. So Ahaziah died just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Since Ahaziah did not have a son to succeed him, his brother Joram became the next king. This took place in the second year of the reign of Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. The rest of the events in Ahaziah's reign are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel. But Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went on together to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Quiet, Elisha answered, of course I know it. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho. But Elisha replied again, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went on together to Jericho. After the group of prophets from Jericho came to Elisha and asked him, did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Quiet, he answered, of course I know it. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River. But again, Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives, and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went on together. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went across on dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, what can I do for you before I am taken away? And Elisha replied, please let me become your rightful successor. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah replied. If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't. As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between them, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, my father, the chariots and charioteers of Israel. And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his robe in two. Then Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak and returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with the cloak and cried out, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Then the river divided and Elisha went across. When the group of prophets from Jericho saw what happened, they exclaimed, Elisha has become Elijah's successor. And they went to meet him and bowed down before him. Sir, they said, just say the word and 50 of our strongest men will search the wilderness for your master. Perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has left him on some mountain or in some valley. No, Elisha said, don't send them. But they kept urging him until he was embarrassed, and he finally said, all right, send them. So 50 men searched for 3 days but did not find Elijah. Elisha was still at Jericho when they returned. Didn't I tell you not to go? He asked. Now the leaders of the town of Jericho visited Elisha. We have a problem, my lord, they told him. This town is located in beautiful natural surroundings, as you can see. But the water is bad, and the land is unproductive. Elisha said, bring me a new bowl with salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring that supplied the town with water and threw the salt into it. And he said, this is what the Lord says. I have made this water wholesome. It will no longer cause death or infertility. And sure enough, The water has remained wholesome ever since, just as Elisha said. Elisha left Jericho and went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, a group of boys from the town began mocking and making fun of him. "Go away, you baldy," they chanted. "Go away, you bald head." Elisha turned around and looked at them, and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of them. From there, Elisha went to Mount Carmel and finally returned to Samaria. Acts 13:42-14:7. As Paul and Barnabas left the synagogue that day, the people asked them to return again and speak about these things the next week. Many Jews and godly converts to Judaism who worshipped at the synagogue followed Paul and Barnabas, and the two men urged them, by God's grace, remain faithful. The following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. But when the Jewish leaders saw the crowds, they were jealous, so they slandered Paul and argued against whatever he said. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke up boldly and declared, it was necessary that this good news from God be given first to you Jews. But since you have rejected it and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, well, we will offer it to the Gentiles. For this is as the Lord commanded us when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and thanked the Lord for his message, and all who were appointed to eternal life became believers. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region. Then the Jewish leaders stirred up both the influential religious women and the leaders of the city, and they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. But they shook off the dust of their feet and against them and went to the city of Iconium, and the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. In Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went together to the synagogue and preached with such power that a great number of both Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who spurned God's message stirred up distrust among the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas, saying all sorts of evil things about them. The apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. The Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. But the people of the city were divided in their opinion about them. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. A mob of Gentiles and Jews, along with their leaders, decided to attack and stone them. When the apostles learned of it, they fled for their lives. They went to the region of Lycaonia, to the cities of Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding area, and they preached the good news there. Psalm 139:1-24. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You both proceed and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake in the morning, you are still with me. O God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies take your name in vain. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who resist you? Yes, I hate them with complete hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Proverbs 17:19-21. Anyone who loves to quarrel loves sin. Anyone who speaks boastfully invites disaster. The crooked heart will not prosper. The twisted tongue tumbles into trouble. It is painful to be the parent of a fool. There is no joy for the father of a rebel. Behold, a people rises up like a lioness and lifts itself up like a lion. He will not lie down until he devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. Numbers 23:24. Today, I want to speak to you about the day that Israel rose up like a lion. On the day of this recording, we are into day 2 of the new conflict between Israel and Iran. Israel did a preemptive strike against Iran on Friday, June 13th. I'm going to share an article with you written by Tuli Weiss, who is the founder of Israel 365 and Israel 365 News. And the article is entitled, "The Day That Israel Rose Up Like a Lion." Every day is a miracle in Israel, but today is one of those especially divine times that everyone living here will remember for the rest of our lives. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and celebrate. The God of Israel enabled his chosen people to strike back at our mortal enemy, Iran. After decades of a growing threat of nuclear annihilation, years of carefully planned military planning, and months of fearful anticipation since their evil ring of fire began to suffocate us on October 7, 2023. While Operation Rising Lion has only just begun, and many IDF soldiers are bravely fighting in harm's way, on land, at sea, and in the air, we pray for their safety. So far, the initial strike has been nothing less than historic. Before our very eyes, Israel has once again served as the mighty hand and outstretched arm of our Heavenly Father, delivering a devastating blow to the Islamic regime. What happened today is extraordinary, and we must take a moment to recognize the unprecedented times we are living in. God is not whispering for our attention. He is shouting. When the leader of the Jewish people, Prime Minister Netanyahu, steps onto the world stage and speaks about the God of Israel, quoting from the Bible in his historic announcement, followed immediately by a spectacular military achievement, you know we are living in biblical times. So how should we, Bible-believing Jews and Christians, respond? That's actually quite simple. We have a tradition that tells us to look into the weekly Torah portion to find the most relevant messages. And in this week's portion, there are 3 goosebump-inducing passages. 1. When you are at war in your land against an aggressor who attacks you, you shall sound short blasts on the trumpets that you may be remembered before Hashem your God and be delivered from your enemies. Numbers 10, verse 9. This is the first war in Israel's modern history in which specially crafted silver trumpets were blown on IDF army bases to encourage the soldiers, just as God commanded. 2. When the ark was set out, Moses would say, "Advance, Hashem. May your enemies be scattered and may your foes flee before you." Numbers 10, verse 35. Iran viciously used proxies and built a ring of fire around Israel. But in his goodness, God scattered our enemies from Gaza, Judea, Samaria, Syria, Lebanon, and Yemen to Iran itself. 3. In that day, many nations will attach themselves to Hashem and become his people, and he will dwell in your midst. Zechariah 2, verse 15. The Haftorah discusses the battle of Gog and Magog and describes how, after the awesome miracles that God performs for his people, many nations will from around the world will cling to him. Once again, this is the first war in Israel's history in which millions of Christians across the globe are standing up for the people of Israel in recognition of the God of Israel. There is a reason each and every one of us is alive today. It is because we see the threats against Israel as an affront to the God of Israel. And we, Jews and Christians, have stood up to call upon him to scatter our enemies. However, it is not enough to keep this moment to ourselves. We must sound the trumpets and declare publicly, a nation that rises like a lion will not rest until it has devoured its prey. Numbers 23:24. May the bitter war that Iran started on October 7th end with the dawning of an era of eternal peace for Israel and for the entire world. Let it be so. Yes and amen. Please keep Israel, the IDF, the men and women who are fighting on land, sea, and air, in your fervent prayers. Please keep the people living in Israel who are having to go to bomb shelters. Please keep them in your prayers. Am Yisrael Chai.
Yevarechacha Adonai Vishmarechacha Yayeh Adonai Panav Elokecha Vikunecha Yisa Adonai Panav Elokecha Vayaseh Lekha Lekha Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.